Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Welcome to the Sage Sayers. I'm your show host, Debbie Gardiner McCullough, DG McCullough. I'm a narrative coach, a communications coach, and a mental fitness coach from New Zealand, based in the fine state of Wisconsin. In each episode, the Sage Sayers unpacks communications tips and strategies, and we interview interesting individuals from all around the world who found the gift, the opportunity, and even some knowledge in life's inevitable challenges. Season 3, Episode 19. How to explain blips in our work. Reading from my article in this week's Medium. I'm helping a lot of job seekers lately craft their work story in ways which sound, well, appealing, good, and helpful for our personal branding, especially in an interview, networking, or promotion situation. Many ask about irregular or the dodgy bits of their history, and I'm making these words parenthetical because they're not negative at all. But discerning recruiters or gatekeepers may view them so. Taking time off to care for our infant or someone else we love. Becoming sick. Getting laid off. Or us walking out for our own emotional well-being and ambitions can fall within this category. Many wonder, how do I explain these moments without inviting skepticism for my work and ethic, especially in a hyper-achieving work culture like the US? I'm not always sure, but I do know that personal branding and communication strategy and self-awareness of our own fears or discomforts helps. The combo of the coaching and the communication strategy boosts our courage, our confidence, and the message itself. I'm writing this week on what's helped me, a serial career transitioner, and those whom I coach. Number one, clear the emotions. To create a lasting strategy, we need to air what's there. When our work history looks a little jumpy or patchy, typically I hear fear or worry about sounding or seeming unemployable or not enough, unreliable or a flight risk, career hopping or opportunistic, inconsistent. Our skills and the time that we spent places simply don't match. Number two, question the worst case scenario. Now you've laid out those fears, contemplate or self-coach on what's the worst thing that can possibly happen. And then how credible is this fear? Also, which parts can we control? Which parts can we not control? Hint, we can only control how we feel, not how the other person feels, as we share stories on our work. Number three, recast and revise your story. When we see the bumps and the blips, contemplate why the change occurred. With no sugarcoating and with full truth, find the narrative within. By that I mean, tell us your story, and if inconsistencies exist, weave the story to look more thematic, logical, and even. Here are some ideas. Grouping a series of short-term assignments, meaning those that are less than a year, as consulting engagements. Making a temporary role which did not become permanent for whatever reason as one of several clients you have partnered with. Finding the consistent skills which showed up wherever you worked and build on that story. I leaned on this idea a lot when transitioning from academia and journalism to coaching, which seemed a little ad hoc at first. When I spoke with others who know me well, I realized I'd always led students, leaders, even my interview subjects as a reporter, to speak and write clearly and engaging ways. I also found that I trained and encouraged everyone I worked with to sound real, confident, and concise. It's these core skills, which I once applied to journalism and to academia, that now keep me busy as a communications coach, It's these skills that I've showcased in my CV and in any job interview leading up to this point. Using work samples more strategically. I had attempt to hire in-house editor role once and hoped that it would become permanent, but it didn't due to politicking that I'd overlooked. In my resume now, I've crafted this work as one of many assignments under my long-standing LLC. I used the writing samples from this time, which included my byline, as work samples, and that has really helped. Speaking to the work as part of your larger experience without listing specifics about them in your resume anywhere. For instance, if you worked in short-term program manager roles for the world's largest IT firms and for several startups, you can list the companies in a column of companies you've been trusted to partner with. You need not say anything else. Number four, answer questions with confidence. When clients I coach get asked why they left their firm or grilled on any gaps, the best answers come from confidence and an absence of apology. Here's a mix of what I've heard clients using and that works. I'm sure you've read and heard of the tech layoffs globally. My job was one of millions impacted. Another. To honour my values of family, love and personal happiness, I took off a year to care for my children and kept my leadership and communication skills fresh through consulting engagements, board and volunteer work. Another. I self-retired from an excellent role with an excellent firm because after 29 years of leading global firms through turmoil and change, I needed to reconnect with myself and my family. I've not once regretted it. Now I'm clearer on whom I want to work with and in what way. Other clients address the potential negative narrative as part of their synopsis about themselves and their work. One has said, "From the outside, it appears that I've job hopped. On the contrary, jobs have hopped towards me. I've had the privilege and honour of leaders at the industry's most ambitious and aggressively growing startups trusting me. I've learned, I've grown tremendously, and I accept that short-term versus long-term roles becomes part of that territory." Another, without seeming nor feeling defensive at all, it's true. "I have worked in Asia in a range of exciting roles for 5 years," said one New Zealander, a dear friend of mine from my university days. She continued, "Now back home, I'm seeking an employer who sees my international perspective as a gift and an opportunity versus a threat or a flight risk. Are you that employer?" Here's the thing. Explaining our work story to a discerning audience can induce worry and self-doubt. That part is true. But feeling confident and clear on your story and your intent as you made any changes can make any blip feel insignificant. Besides, what is and is not a blip remains subjective. Staying in one place and in one industry eternally and climbing the ranks can seem ambitious and focused to one and boring and ho-hum to another. I've also found that now my coaching career has exploded in promising ways, that when we're in the right place and using our skills in powerful ways, nothing from my history feels wasteful, damaging, nor inconsistent to my personal brand. Right now, everything I've ever done feels perfect. I felt that this shift, when many clients came to me because they wanted to reinvent either their communications approach, outlook, or their career. So the very change I once felt the need to disguise that I'd had moved around from a lot of different careers and professions and jobs has now become a quality others want me to coach them on. I'm hoping that today's musings cast light on a popular concern in a new and exciting way, one that's full of hope, creativity, and possibilities. You've been listening to DG McCullough with the Sage Sayers, a podcast on business communications and mental fitness, finding the sage approach to life's challenges. If you'd like to coach and train with me on any communication or life challenge, visit my website, hangingrock.com. bravecommunicatorscoaching.com or find me on LinkedIn with the hashtag Brave Communicators. Both links you'll find within the show notes. I want to thank my producer, Doten, for his elegant edits, making these episodes beautiful in ways far beyond my skills. You can find Doten on Fiverr under Titan32. And thank you to my coachees all over the globe who spark creative ideas for each episode. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.